Hey, what's up?
Yep.
You guys, it's Sunday. It's storming outside, so hopefully the power doesn't go out. It flashed off like a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, and we've had a little power outages here, so we might lose the internet connection.
Yeah, but so I think it's, it sounds like it's going away for, because a few minutes ago I was just kind of like, holy shit.
And I'm mysteriously coughing again out of nowhere.
He's coughing all over again.
Just this fucking dry fucking...
That shirt looks nice on you, actually.
Got this shirt. Jenny bought this shirt for me last night.
Last night. I got that, and I got this one, who was the opening band, Obsidian, who were actually, like, quite awesome.
The Temple of Mercy. It was it's a Sisters of Mercy tribute band.
Yeah.
They didn't look like Sisters of Mercy, but they sounded like it.
I don't know. The lead singer kind of looked like Andrew Eldridge. Yeah, and he had, like, all of Andrew Eldridge's, like,
moves and down and stuff.
Yeah. Like, and they covered the whole... I laughed because they covered, like, the whole stage with, like... Smoke. And I was like, we're getting the whole Sisters of Mercy experience. Yeah. Like, we could barely see.
Yeah, and there was no drummer because Sisters of Mercy didn't have a drummer.
I just thought that was so funny. They were like, we talked to them for a couple minutes after, and they seemed like super nice dudes, but...
Yeah, they're having fun.
Yeah, that was a great show, actually. We had a really good time. But, so today... Well, we have... Okay, well, let's talk about the movie first, and then... We're going to talk about just a couple of, like, little housekeeping things, which are, like, not a big deal. About something about a haunting and something about the topic for the show this week. So we'll get into that. But first, let's talk about Invaders from Mars. Now, you had seen this before, right?
Long time ago.
I had seen it once, like, a long time ago. Yeah, but I barely remembered it.
Yeah.
I remembered it being, like, Tobe Hooper, and I remember it being, like... liking it, and I remember, like, the special effects being really cool, like the monster designs and stuff, but that was literally all I remembered.
I didn't know anything about Tobe Hooper or any of that bullshit. I just saw it, like, on HBO or Cinemax or something back when it was relatively new, and saw it on old CRT television, and it looked like crap, you know?
As everything did on that.
Yeah, but I still liked it. I thought it was a great movie. And I didn't remember much about it. I just knew that it was a little kid fighting Martians. And that it was that I remember feeling like it was a big budget movie, and I wasn't disappointed seeing it again. It's a fucking excellent movie, especially for the time. It's like Gremlins or something, and about like that level of production, maybe less in terms of special effects. The acting and the writing is good. It's homaging the original, which is a 50s sci-fi.
Yeah, 1953.
And it borrows a lot of stuff from the 50s, and it's almost very much reminded me of War of the Worlds, the original War of the Worlds. There's a lot of design in it. It's like something out of War of the Worlds mixed with Invaders of Mars from Mars and Alien and crazy fucking aliens and weird technology and soldiers fighting and actually weren't soldiers, they were Marines, Marine recon unit fighting it. And the equipment was real accurate for the time. You know, I had a good time seeing that old equipment because a few years later I was in the Army with a lot of that equipment. It was being phased out at the time I went in, but a lot of that shit was still in service when I was in.
Well, yeah, they actually did get the, after a while, they did actually get the cooperation of the U.S. Marines. So there are some actual Marines and, like, actual Marine shit.
Yeah, it was authentic.
It was all accurate, yeah.
And one of the guys in there yelling and screaming in the background is a dude that ended up being real famous. He was in Under Siege. All he did is down play a general. He still plays a general. I forgot that guy's name.
I think he was even
got a mustache.
Yeah,
on.
He's. I think he was like even the consultant.
He's like,
this.
Yeah, he's always like a military consultant type guy. And he's in there. He fires the M-47 Dragon. Goes back blast area clear. It's cheesy as shit. It's like right out of something out of basic training. Something you would never really do in fucking real combat, really. But it's just. But the movie. That's the tone of the movie. The tone of the movie is a 1950s Mars versus the Marines. That's the motif with a little kid telling you the story. And then he wakes up in a solid dream. That's, and it even left that fucking thing, kind of. But then it was a dream, but then it came true. Which that was some weird shit. But I forgot. I think the original was he wakes up and it's a dream, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty much... I mean, when they decided they were going to remake it, the original screenplay, which was written by Richard Blake... it was, they used the original screenplay, but then, like, they reworked it. Like, Dan O'Bannon and Don Jacoby, they reworked it. But it's very, very similar. There's a couple things in there that are updated, but they wanted to leave it the same. I think kind of that might have been the reason, because this movie was actually kind of like a big flop. It only cost $7 million to make, and it made less than $5 million back. I kind of feel like even though there was a lot of 50s nostalgia and 50s remakes and stuff like that going on in the 80s, I think that a lot of the remakes were made that were like clearly 80s movies, but this one seems like, yes, it takes place in the 80s, but the tone of it was very much like the 50s movie.
Yeah.
And I think that people really didn't get that, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if you... I don't think that they knew that it was an homage to an older movie.
Maybe not.
Part of it. Because I remember we were watching it, and we were basically in our teens, and we didn't know there was another Invader from Mars, an older one. So I think that might have been part of it. But I just wanted to say, if you guys can't hear it, man, the whole fucking world is ending out there. Chances are we're going to lose power.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it sounds like it's getting better because it was much louder than that earlier.
Yeah, it's like the fucking apocalypse.
Hey, it's Florida in the summer. It does this like pretty much every afternoon right around this time.
We're in the Florida monsoon
season.
It's
just lightning and whoosh, like blowing against the window and shit like that. But so, okay. So, did you know this was Canon Films? You know that, right?
This is a fucking excellent Canon Films if it's canon. I didn't know it was canon.
Yeah.
This was one of the best ones that they've ever made.
Well, what ended up happening, I mean, Tobe Hooper, obviously, like, everybody that's into horror knows Tobe Hooper. He's very, very famously made the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, among others. He also did Funhouse. He did lots of other stuff. Now, he actually had a three-picture deal with Canon, and the first one, which came out in 1985, was Life Force. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Like, I love that movie, actually. And that was
that's
kind
canon
of
also?
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Well, Canon, they, you know, they were known for doing like real low budget stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
Life Force was good.
Life Force was actually their attempt at doing something like big budget. Cause you have to think like Tobe Hooper at this point, he had directed Poltergeist, right? So he was kind of like a big deal. Yeah. So like, okay, well, Canon is trying to get like play with the big boys, right? So they give Tobe Hooper like a whole bunch of money. They're like, we want to make this book. And it was called Space Vampires. Yeah. And so they made it into Life Force, and it was a giant, giant flop.
It's ridiculous, because that was a good movie. We liked it then.
Yeah.
Because
it
was basically Britain versus hot, naked vampire chick 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not like that?
How could that be wrong? And the mistake that they made was calling it Life Force. They showed an original poster that they were going to use. Remember, it was like upside down crosses flying towards the earth with vampires inside of them. That would have been a better poster. I think it was called Space Vampires, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, that was the name of the book, so I think that
was the cover of the book that I remembered. That would have made a good movie. Just call it Space Vampires. Have that naked chick on there, and yeah, dude, people would have gone and see it.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. It's like, that's the thing. But yeah, Life Force is kind of one of those ones that it did like really badly at the time, but you know, subsequently got a cult following. So, because that one kind of tanked, Tobe Hooper still had two films to make with Canon, and this was actually the second one. Now, they had been wanting to, I guess, like, Golan and Globus, they were big, like, sci-fi fans, and they were talking to this one guy that was a really big fan of the original and really wanted to see it remade, like, with a bigger budget, but because Life Force kind of failed, they're like, well, now we're not going to give you, like, a big, huge budget for this movie, for Invaders from Mars, so they only gave him $7 million, and so they remade it. I mean, this has like Karen Black is in this. The kid, did you know the kid that's in this movie that plays like the main character?
Hold on 1 second.
That
is sexy ass Karen Black to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember every time that name is mentioned, it's always prefaced with sexy ass. Sexy ass Karen Black.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway,
that's for the fans.
Yeah, the kid that's in the movie is her actual son.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So now I forgot what I was saying.
Now you threw
me off my fucking note. Why did you need to quit interrupting? Because you keep,
it was
like,
funny though. It was funny.
Because you keep like throwing me off like my train of thought.
Your spiel. Okay.
But yeah. So that was her real kid. Yeah. Karen Black is in this. Louise Fletcher is in this. Timothy Bottoms is in this. Actually, Louise Fletcher eats a frog in it. So, and it's like when she did, it's not a real frog, but like when she did the scene, I think she made a joke. It's like, I have an Oscar. What am I doing? Like eating a frog. But you know, she was pretty game though. I like that she just kind of went for it and was just
This was
way
a good movie.
Over the top. Yeah, I mean,
I put it up there with Life Force.
The thing about it, it's like this kind of is one of those movies that. Oh, and Lorraine Newman is in this too.
Yeah, that's right. I was going, who is that woman? And who is that woman? And then you said Lorraine Newman.
Yeah, it's Lorraine Newman from SNL.
Seen her in forever
from Coneheads.
Yeah,
Coneheads. She even does the Coneheads voice at the end.
Yeah,
like to the boy.
Okay, yeah.
Like she does like alien voice, and she does like the Connie Conehead voice. They asked her to do it, and she was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Mostly
like,
just remember her from Saturday Night Live, being a kid, and she was on there all the time. Back when Saturday Night Live was good, back in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah. But, yeah, so this had, like, a bunch of stars in it. And, honestly, it's... The thing about it, like, Life Force was obviously not for children, right? Because it's, like, a naked lady, like, going through the whole thing. And it was, like, a horror movie.
Yeah.
And Tobe Hooper was more known, even though he'd made Poltergeist, you know, him and Steven Spielberg. And that was kind of family-friendly, although it was pretty scary. This one was kind of, I think it was initially wanted to be, like, the same kind of tone as Poltergeist. It's, like, sort of... You know, it's sort of geared toward kids because a kid is the main character, like a 10-year-old kid or however the fuck old he is. But it's still, like, really scary. I know that, like, a lot of kids, I've heard that a lot of kids that saw this when they were that age, like the same age as the kid, were scared by this movie. Like, because it
was suspenseful.
Yeah, and the thing
it's
about
not scary,
it,
but it's suspenseful.
It's not, yeah, I mean, it's not really scary. It might have been scary, like, in 1986 when you were 10. I think the scariest thing about it, not so much the aliens, although I absolutely love, like, the alien designs in this, and that was, like, Stan Winston did the, and John Dykstra did them. And I think they look really, really cool, like, the brain on the thing and all that. And the
brain penis.
Yeah, the brain penis or whatever.
It's down on a shaft.
Yeah.
It lays itself down on a pedestal like it should.
And then he just, like, opens his little mouth.
Yeah, it's fucking funny.
He's, like, he's cool. I think he's cool looking. I liked the little face that he had on there.
And they had the nutsack monsters.
Yeah, and the nutsack monsters.
Walking around with backwards legs and shit.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
The whole reason that they made the monsters look like that was because, well, we wanted to do practical effects, and we wanted, like... aliens that look like, but they're like, we didn't want like a dude in a, like the look of a dude in a rubber suit. They're like, because that's the problem is you always have.
Yeah.
So they wanted to like make it so it was, didn't really look like a human. I think, I don't know if they actually ended up doing this, but one of their original ideas was they were going to have like bodybuilder guys like kind of walking backwards with like little people like on their backs, like controlling the shit. So that might be how they had done that, you know what I mean?
It was because, cool.
Yeah, but I really, really like the monster designs in this as well.
It's all kind of to me, it was all kind of lighthearted. You weren't supposed to take it serious. It was just tongue in cheek, good action. Action and monsters.
And a lot of it was homaging.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it was homaging the original. Actually, the guy that played the original kid actually had a cameo in this. I think he was like the chief of police or something. Like he only has like a line or two, but they put him in it. There's all kind of little like sci-fi in jokes. You know what I mean? Like the references to the earlier movie, references to Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like that kind of stuff. So there's all that kind of stuff in there. And I kind of feel like, I don't know, you can tell that like Tobe Hooper and the producers and everything like that were really, really into the original and were really, really happy to make it. But I don't know. I just think the time wasn't right. I think this is another one that was really like appreciated later on. Although I do kind of feel like it's not usually one that a lot of Tobe Hooper fans bring up. And I was kind of watching a bunch of different horror channels, like, reviews of it. And some of them really, really dig it. And some of them are just kind of like, it's, like, not one of his best ones. But I don't know. There's something, like, actually really charming about it. It's not funny. And it's not... I don't know. It just has a very much, like, Golly Gee Willikers, like, 50s kind of vibe to it. You know?
Yeah.
But to me, that works.
And
and honestly, the alien designs, like the creature designs, the design of like the inside of the ship, like with all the colored lights and like just all that is so, so cool looking.
Yeah, it's all colorful. And to me, it was kind of I thought it was homaging the original War of the Worlds because it was in color. But the colors kind of looked real artificial and a lot of green lights inside coming out of the... And a lot of the technology that they had was kind of like something you'd see from War of the Worlds. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, they had a drilling apparatus with, like, lights and eyeballs and fucking blades on it and stuff. Kind of made out of copper. And just they had nonsensical alien technology that really didn't make much sense, but it was just cool, you know, like a ray gun. You could put a strip of copper into it, and it would just send out this amazing bolt of fucking lightning, basically, you know, and ions
and
or something.
It would vaporize you.
Yeah, it would just vaporize, but it only had one shot.
Yeah, so then you'd have to, like, stick another
one. Yeah,
you'd
put another one,
there.
Then it took two of them to operate it. And which, of course, gives plenty of time for the Marines just to cut them to shreds with M60s and M16s and rockets and stuff, you know. So the aliens didn't make much sense. They were in these tunnels. You never really saw the ship, or maybe the ship was in the center of the tunnels, and they could make the tunnels disappear and rearrange, which that was kind of a cool idea. It didn't make sense, but that's like something
they
do in the 50s. In the 50s, you know, where they're teleporting the tunnels or covering the tunnels up. They got tunnel control. You know, something like that. But it's cool. It's a 1950s style sci-fi action adventure horror. And they've got to throw weird technology at you. Alien technology.
Well, and in the universe of the movie, you have to remember, spoiler alert, it's all a dream.
It's all a dream.
Like a 10-year-old kid's dream.
Yeah. And if you look, he's... The little boy who's kind of the main character or the center of the story, everything's revolving around him. He's a Kenny. He's coming up with all the damn...
Oh, he's a total Kenny.
He's a total Kenny. He's coming up with all of the solutions. He's saving the Marines and fucking helping them get out.
He goes to the general and like...
right. Goes, tells the general what to do. Fucking, he's saving his school nurse who's... got to be his love interest. She's looking to him to what to do some of the times. You know what I mean?
He's, that's his mom.
It's his mom.
In real
life. But not
in
the movie.
Not in the movie.
In the movie, that was the nurse he was crushing on.
Yeah.
So he's got to man up and save her, you know. It's kind of a good-hearted story. And in the end, he wakes up, and it was all just a dream. But then he looks out the window and sees the ship fucking... landing
like,
in there.
Oh,
so
no,
it wasn't a dream,
it
was a premonition.
Well, I think, and I can't remember like how the original 1953 one ended, because it's been years and years since I've seen it. But this one, I think people were like a little bit like, I don't know, like maybe disappointed or like a what? Like by the ending, because, you know, he wakes up, it was all a dream, everything's back to normal, and then he's actually goes to his window and sees the alien ship again, like actually landing this time, just like in his dream. And then at the very end of the movie, like he runs into his parents' room like, oh my God, you guys, it's like fucking UFO or whatever. And then like he screams, but they don't show you what it is that he's screaming
sees something
at.
Like they're
and then it
over.
Just freeze frames and then they roll the credits.
Yeah.
Now what I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I heard that there was actually supposed to be another scene where he was seeing his parents being eaten by the ball bag aliens. Just call them like the ball sack aliens.
Ball sack aliens.
That they were like eating his parents, and that's what he was screaming at. But for whatever reason, they either didn't shoot it or, you know, they didn't. I don't know. But that's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
It was a ball sack alien. It looked like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors had a baby with a ball sack. What it would come out—that's what it looked like. The legs.
I liked their big. Yeah. I liked their big like. Like you said, like the plants, like Audrey too. Like,
and then it ended up on Power Rangers. It's like something out of Power Rangers, but it was cool though.
Yeah.
It's not. You're not supposed to take this seriously. This turns out to be a kid's dream.
Yeah.
But and still made a good action movie.
And I mean, I will go to bat for that, like, brain penis alien, because I think that's cool as hell looking.
Good.
I think that's
good.
Cool as hell. Like, he comes out the little little butthole.
He comes out the anus and lays his fucking
and then comes down and he's
directly
like...
directly down. The shaft comes down, lays the hood on the fucking thing, and it smiles at you.
I like his eyes were cool. I thought he was like really freaky looking. I thought he was cool. But what I was going to say before was that as rad as the monsters are in this, I think if you were a little kid, I think the monsters probably aren't the scariest part, because the monsters are kind of like just goofy and fun. I think the scariest thing about this for kids, at least from, you know, people that I had heard that watched this when they were kids, was that it was more that everybody, like all the adults in your life had like turned against you because they'd all been taken over. Because
you're powerless.
Yeah, because if you don't know, like the whole premise of the story is that, you know, the kid sees this alien ship like land on this hill like behind his house, And then, like, his dad, who's, like, some, like, a scientist, right? Like, he works for NASA or some shit like that. And he goes back there to check it out, and then he comes back, and he's all, like, weird.
What year did this come out again?
86.
Okay, so I was 17.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it going, oh, man, that kid's fucked. You know what I mean? Oh, that would suck. All the adults are now after you. You know what I mean? What would you do? Because, you know, I was young enough to kind of feel for the kid in that way. You know what I mean? Because...
That's what I
when
mean.
When you're that 10, like, adults can tell you what to do, even if they're the aliens.
And no one would believe you.
No one would believe you.
I mean, because essentially what the aliens are doing, you find out later on, is that they're taking people inside the ship, putting them face down on this, you know, kind of massage table deal, and then they're putting this thing in the back of your neck that essentially, like, controls your brain. It's like a little
control.
It's like a little, like, remote control, like, spike or something.
And so they can kill you through it.
Yeah, if you disobey, like, they'll blow your fucking head up or whatever. So they've been doing that. So, like, then his dad comes back, and then his dad's acting all weird. And then, like, he's like, hey, I'm going to take your mom out for a picnic to the thing. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to go. And so, like, they go, and then they both come back, and they're both acting really weird. Like, they're she's eating, like, raw hamburger with, like, sugar on it. And he's, like, eating all this. They have this big pile of bacon that's, like, burned to a crisp, and they're, like, crunching it, like, and shit like that. And he's just, like, and then, like, a couple of the, like, Louise Fletcher's character, she's, like, a teacher at school who's a complete harridan. And she gets taken over, and then, like, the other little goody two-shoes girl at school, she gets taken over, and he doesn't really have anybody to turn to because, you know, he has to look at the back of everybody's neck because you can see, like, where they inserted the little thing in there. So he basically runs to sexy-ass Karen Black.
There you go.
Who's, like, the school nurse because she's, like, nice to him and... Yeah. You know, so he tells her about the story, and she obviously doesn't believe him at first, but then, you know, shit happens, and then, like, she starts to believe him. So then, like, he ends up having to, like, go to the general, and they, like, figure out what's going on. But, yeah.
There's a lot of Mars attacks in this, too.
Yeah.
And if you go, I think some of it was taken from the source material of Mars Attacks. Mars Attacks, that idea came from a bunch of trading cards. They were from the 50s, I think, weren't they, the trading cards?
Yes,
I think those trading cards might have been called Mars Attacks. And
yeah,
it was a bunch of trading cards that kids could buy. We used to buy trading cards too, like fucking monsters that were football players and baseball players and shit. Well, they had those back in the 50s, and it was a series of gruesome fucking cards.
They were very gruesome.
I loved them. I can understand.
Yeah, the art's amazing.
Yeah, you can Google them and look at them. Mars Attacks trading cards. And they're just this fucking gruesome shit. It just lets you know how different the world was. I was still kind of growing up. In the 70s, it was still like this a bit. It's drawings of aliens busting through into little girls' rooms and cooking the cat right in front of her with a damn ray gun. And she's screaming and the cat's fucking half burnt up and fucking with it. And then, you know, them just burning people up. It's just like right out of Mars Attacks. But it wasn't funny. It was like something out of World War II. It's exactly what it was. It was what we were doing to the Japanese soldiers and the Germans, but it reversed. Imagine if aliens doing that to Americans. Cooking the cows and cows stampedes, and they're cooking them with fucking ray guns and burning up little girls with ray guns and shit. Fucking quite impressive drawings. And real cool symbols. And everything is from the alien point of view. Like, this is all great. You know, there's symbols on it, like these cards came from Mars. That's what it looked like. That's how my interpretation of it. That they were Martian trading cards, kind of exalting their triumph over mankind and the destruction of mankind. And it's just those alien shit, man. And fucking little kids were in the 50s were collecting these, and it just lets you know fucking what way society was. You know. And I think although I heard that some of the parents, even in the 50s, didn't like those cards. They thought they were too violent.
Yeah, there was a huge outcry. We talked about that when we talked about the movie Mars Attacks.
Yeah. But those cards, the colors and certain the ways that definitely inspired the Mars Attacks movie. But I also see that in this. Some of the things that they drew, the color schemes, it looks like they came from those cards. Were influenced by it, mixed with alien and other stuff. There's a mixture of a bunch of stuff, but I think those cards had something to do with it, too. You know, remember the outside scenes where the ships or Landon, that's definitely in a studio, that's right off of those cards.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff from the movie was right off of the cards, like the cows on fire and all that kind of stuff.
When I'm talking about in this one, Invaders from Mars, some of that also looks like those Mars Attacks cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slash of Fred said, Invaders from Mars is sort of like pre-Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yeah, it's kind of similar. I mean, Invasion of the Body Snatchers was based on a novel. Well, there was another movie, too. What the fuck was the name of it? I think Beverly Garland was in it. I saw it on Mystery Science Theater. And it had a very similar premise to this. Was it Conquered the World? It was the one with the space carrot or zucchini or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. It's like Roger Corman's. You know, the one that lived in the cave and like kind of looked like a vegetable?
Yeah, I think I one with the mouth?
Yeah. Well, see, that had another like kind of side plot that he was like sending out like from underneath his little, from his little skirt or whatever, like underneath his little feet. He would send out these little bat creatures, and the bat creatures would kind of like stick on the back of your neck and would do like control your thoughts, like in this one. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff going on in the 50s, like this sort of like aliens doing mind control, you know? So like, yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, all that. But yeah, there was another like Roger Corman one that had the same kind of thing with, but it was bat creatures that did it. So this is kind of like another one like that. Hugo said the Mars Attacks card that upset people was the one with the Martian grabbing a white lady.
Yeah, well, they were doing shit to, it was all white people. But that was just, it was like war propaganda. World War II war propaganda looked like that, too. You know? Japanese soldiers grabbing white women. That was be like one of the war propaganda stuff. That was happening in certain areas. Not in the United States, but over in when they occupied the Philippines, they captured a bunch of, I think they were British women, and forced them into servitude, is what they called it. But that's all there. But they turned that into a propaganda arm. So it was, those cards are just right out of fucking World War II. It's like, imagine if Martians made trading cards about their war against us, and it looks like, just shows you what the psychology's like, you know, of that era. And
well, I mean, that seems to me like a very modern idea. Like, if somebody did that nowadays, like, made, and it, like, if it hadn't been done back then, but somebody said, oh, I'm going to pretend like I'm an alien race and I'm going to make these things, like, where it looks like I'm fucking up all the humans, then people would think it was, like, really awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was almost kind of like ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time.
Like. I think
a metaverse thing.
And I think that those trading cards were actually some of the first, if not the first, that were, like, not based on an existing, like,
franchise.
IP.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were completely original. They weren't from a cartoon or like a TV show or nothing like that.
My interpretation is that they were the trading cards being traded on Mars, celebrating the Martian victory over Earth.
Yeah.
That's and them motherfuckers are cruel, man, like something out of World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
But yeah, so this movie, Invaders from Mars, like I said, it really seems to have like mixed response. Even to this day, I think Rotten Tomatoes, it's still like 38%. Like I said, I've seen like some horror fans that were like really, really dig it and think it's like really underrated. And then some of them was like, well, I don't think anybody thinks it's like awful, but some people are just kind of like, they don't think it's that great, but I actually really like it. There's just something about the tone of it that I really got into. Like I said, you kind of have to watch it, even though it's set in the 80s, you have to watch it as though it's like a 50s movie because it's very much like tonally like a 50s movie. Interestingly, at the time that it came out, this was nominated for 2 Razzies. Louise Fletcher for Worst Actress.
Ridiculous.
Well, I know. She has an Oscar. Leave her alone. And Worst Visual Effects. That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever because the visual effects in this are actually quite awesome. Like, all the creatures, like, look amazing. All the set design is amazing. So, whatever. I don't know, man. The Razzies. Yeah. They come up with some stupid shit. But yeah, so do you have anything else to say about the movie? Because I have a couple of...
One thing to say about the movie is people are going to say, and I can't imagine like an alien civilization traveling light years to come and fuck over somebody else. Yeah, but ants can't imagine a bunch of rednecks running around on four-wheelers either. You know? There's a lot of things that are beyond our imagination. There are some very reputable biologists and scientists and stuff that said, no, there probably is danger in the galaxy. And they wouldn't come for water or anything like that. It would be something else. Like, they just might go, those are good to eat. Let's go eat those. Because they would just see you as an animal.
That's what I mean. We could just be like, we could just be like intergalactic snacks or something.
Yeah. Or they're
like little party shrimp of the universe.
They're biological, but they're one of the most common biological reproductive plan in nature is like what the wasps do. They're like a parasite. They sting you, immobilize you, lay an egg in you, and then you feed their young. That's a very common reproductive plan. There's no reason why advanced aliens couldn't be like that and make technology and not give a shit.
Well, the thing about it, too, is that even on Earth, we have humans who just do, you know, assholy shit just for the hell of it. So, I don't think it's that crazy to think that there's probably some aliens that are probably just interplanetary assholes
and
that just want to go around just being jerks for no reason.
There's no reason why they would be enlightened in the way that we would think enlightened. There's no reason to think that they have such a short lifespan where being in space for a few million years asleep, that might not be a big deal for them. Okay. So they don't have the same concept of time. Or they might just be where they can just bend space and just teleport across vast distances. That might be possible, too, through wormholing and stuff. And using technologies that we can't imagine. We would see it as magic. And they wouldn't need anything other than having something to do with food or reproduction. So they wouldn't want our technology or anything. The only thing we would probably have that they would think would be interesting, maybe art. Like, oh, wow. Could we collect art from other cultures and stuff? Because, you know, it's like that. It comes from that tribe. Only they make that, you know. That would probably be the only thing unique about us. But they would just use it as a trophy.
Slasher Fred said, the twist plot of it being a dream is very similar to a movie called Robot Monster. Yeah, that's right. The one with the alien and the gorilla suit and the diving helmet.
Yeah.
That was also a little boy's dream. And then Danny Rowling says, the dream plot twist is never a good look for TV or film. In my opinion, I can't stand that twist. Yeah, honestly, it's usually very lazy. The only reason I think it works in this case is that, one, you know, it's homaging the original, which had the same ending, and two, you're led to believe that it wasn't so much just a dream as, like, a premonition, you know what I mean? Like, because he sees, actually, after he wakes up from the dream, he actually does see the thing, so you're led to believe that it's going to happen now, and he just saw it ahead. But, yeah, so that's why. But, okay, so... What was I gonna?
We're gonna change certain things about the show.
I mean, not changing stuff. Like,
we're gonna add
really, but like, adding or changing. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. Don't get excited.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to do, if you're not on our Patreon, I did a really stupid thing. You know how I do the Patreon polls, like to pick a topic for the next week. Okay. Well, the topic that won for this week, like this coming Wednesday, was the James Rupert Easter Sunday massacre and haunting. And so I was like, okay, that one, I started like doing notes for it. And then I was like, wait, this case sounds like really familiar. So I looked into our back catalog and we've already done a show about that. And it wasn't even that long ago. It was like episode 253 or something. I'm like, oh my God, I am the stupidest person alive. Or the most disorganized. You know, it could be that. So I was like, all right, well, obviously we can't do that show again because we just did one on that like not too long ago. So what I did was I went with the next topic that had the next like number of votes, which was actually the British Premonitions Bureau, which actually I just heard about on that show with Unexplained with William Shatner. So we'll do a show about that instead. Another thing we were just talking about, like literally right before we started streaming, was a lot of you guys have wanted us to go back to doing like some reviews of a haunting episodes, and there's like a whole bunch that we still want to do. I think we've talked about this before. What we decided to do, because I keep putting them like in the polls, but they usually don't win. So I was like, well, why don't we do like maybe once a week? Like instead of doing a movie for the matinee, we'll do a haunting episode for the matinee. Like, so we'll just do like one a week, like on Sunday or Monday or some shit like that. So then that way we'll be able to like work through all of them without having to worry about them winning in the polls or anything like that. And in a way, it'll kind of be easier for us because they're shorter than movies, and we don't have to like keep finding movies and stuff. We're still going to do movies on the other matinee days,
but just one day
a week, like on one of the matinees, we'll do a haunting episode instead. So I'm going to try. I got to go and like look at all the ones we've done, so I don't repeat any. But I mean, we've done like several, but there's still like a fuck ton that we haven't done.
We got fucking 9 seasons of that, I think.
Yeah, well, I think we have 7 seasons, because I think that I gave you...
There was a couple more.
Yeah, there are actually a few more. I think there are maybe 12 or 13 seasons altogether.
I have to look. I think I have most of them. I know I have most of the seasons.
Well, I know that I gave...
some of them you can't get on DVD.
Yeah, well, after season 7 or 8, I think they just stopped offering them, because you can stream them somewhere.
And who knows about the quality? We haven't checked, because that franchise got purchased a couple of times, and each time it got purchased by a new company, the quality kind of suffered. The first company was the best.
Yeah.
That has all the real classic episodes on it.
So that's probably what we'll do. So probably, like, tonight we'll pick out, like, an episode that we haven't covered, and then maybe we'll talk about that on the matinee tomorrow and then get back to movies, like, the next day. Mm-hmm. Because I just wanted to, like, cover more of those, because I know a lot of people keep, like, asking about them, and I kind of want to get back to doing them, too, because that's kind of, like, we started out, like, on the show, like, doing a lot of those early on. A lot of people seem to enjoy those, and they're fun. Yeah. So, you know. Danny Rowling said, I suggested the Easter Day Massacre. Yeah, it's weird because I have like this big long list of topics, and usually once we do a show about it, like I'll take it off the list, obviously. But that was still on there, like to put into polls, and I don't know why it was still on there. I just forgot to delete it. But we have absolutely already done a show about that, because as soon as I started reading about the case, I was like, uh-oh, this looks like really familiar. And then like I looked back and I was like, holy crap, it wasn't even that long ago that we did that fucking show. But yeah, Haunting in Connecticut. Didn't we do an episode on Haunting in Connecticut?
I don't know.
I kind of feel like we did. I'm going to check.
I don't remember which one that is.
I'm going to check afterward and see which ones we've done. And then
I get confused about what the names of those episodes are.
That's the only thing. Like, the episodes of a haunting, they always have these really generic titles.
Right. So they all kind of, the titles kind of blurred together. You got
like,
to go and
Dark
look at
Destiny.
Them.
One is that?
Yeah. Got to go and look at them and go, I remember that one.
Yeah.
And then I'll remember everything about it. I just forgot what the name of it was.
Yeah, because they all have names like that.
Yeah.
Unless, like, every now and then they'll do, like, a haunting in Florida or...
Right.
Or it'll be, like...
Summerwind stands out, you know?
Yeah, because that's actually the name of the place. But then, like, most of them just have these kind of, like, really generic, sinister intentions. Right, I'm like, you're not helping.
Dark desire.
Yeah, you're not.
This is porn?
It's Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you know, so I have to keep looking, and I'm just like, wait, which one is that? I don't remember what that is, because it's like a
Dark Shadows in the Hall. What the
fuck is that? Yeah, it's always like dark something or other.
Yeah. Evil within.
Yeah, I think there is
evil lurks. Evil within. Evil above. Evil inside. Evil beside.
Evil over there.
Yeah,
evil over here.
Evil over there. Evil underneath. Do that shit all day long.
We should just like make up a whole, that would be a
make
fun show
episode.
Just make up a whole like list of episodes that could actually be real episodes. Oh my god.
The evil within. That's the most generic.
I'm pretty sure most that there generic. Is one called
There's gotta
that.
Be something like that.
I'm pretty sure there is one called that. But yeah. So, yeah, so tomorrow we'll probably do, like, a haunted episode, because, like I said, a lot of people seem to like those, and we like doing those as well. So, yeah, I guess we're going to wrap it up. We going to wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right. So, we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll see you later. Bye.